We've been talking about discipleship, discipling, and there's some interesting things that we've covered about discipling. We've talked about having the mind and the heart of a disciple, and I think it must have been 3-4 weeks ago now when I preached that, talking about what kind of mind do we need to have in order to receive the teachings of Christ. And we've learned that we need to have the heart of a child, someone who's willing to lay down their ideas and their preconceived opinions to the side and become as a child to learn everything over again as if it was brand new. That was the first thing we learned. The second thing we learned was, like Peter, when the fish were put into his net and he caught more fish than he'd ever caught in his whole life, he recognized that Christ's way was the only way to get the results that he was looking for. Self-sufficiency will not give you the results that you're looking for in life. You have to lean on Jesus to do it. And today we're going to learn another lesson about discipleship. And before we begin, of course, I'm going to pray, and I'll ask you to bow your heads with me that we can move forward in the sermon together. So let's pray. Our Father in heaven, Lord, we just thank you so much for being with us through our service and for all the lessons we've learned and the children and the music from Fountain View and all the things that make up a meaningful service that we could glorify you in all that we say and do and think. Father, be with us, be with my words, that my words would be your words and that we would all grow and develop to be fruit-bearing disciples in the kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So up there, I can see it. You see, there's a tree with a lot of different fruits on it and lots of different fruits. And this particular tree actually has 40 different types of fruit on it that it produces in a single year. And I'm going to ask that maybe we go to the second picture. See if you have it there. And this is the tree in bloom. This is called the 40 fruit tree. There's, let me get my notes out here. This particular tree is a creation that Professor Sam Van Acken created by going across America, he's an American, and finding heirloom fruit trees all across different orchards and places, and grafting them into a single tree that would be the root stock. And he does this very meticulously because he catalogs the different dates and cycles that the trees bloom. So in this particular version of his tree, you see they're all blooming at the same time. And you see the colors that are coming off of this tree are amazing. Pinks, whites, purples, oranges, reds, darker, different hues of pink and all sorts of things. And he has designed this tree to bloom all at once. He does this by cataloging the certain dates of blooming for these particular strains and different types. So some of the different fruits that this tree produces, they're all what you call stone fruit. Stone fruit is a fruit that has a pit. And so these are peaches, plums, nectarines, apricots, apples, cherries. I was about to say tomatoes. No tomatoes on this tree. But 40 different types of that. And do you know it even grows almonds? Can you imagine the fragrance coming off of this tree? Every different blossom has a different smell. Every different blossom produces a different type of fruit. And all of those fruits are growing together on one tree. It truly is an amazing sight. And he actually, I'm not sure if he sells these trees or not, but he creates them and he donates these trees as a remembrance to the different types of fruits that existed or do exist. And he donates this tree to museums and universities and places like that, so that they're all across America. And here are some of the states that you can find this tree in: is Arkansas, Kentucky, Maine, Massachusetts, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, and California. Right across the states, and it's truly amazing. How he gets these in states like Maine is that the tree that he grafts them into is a tree that's good in the winter weather conditions. And so that tree has a hardy root system, it's very strong, and it can survive these types of things. And so he puts a little bud from the tree that he wants to use and put into this, and he makes a slice in a branch, and he fits that bud into that slice and tapes it up, and that the two become one, and that's grafting. So it's an amazing thing that he's created. So I chose John chapter 15. Thank you for the slides, Selena. You can turn that off. Thank you. John chapter 15, this story Jesus is talking about is called the true vine. Now, I know we looked at a tree, but a vine is a similar thing. It can look like trees sometimes. John chapter 15, verses 1 to 9. And I'm just going to go through this, and we'll discover some realities about discipleship that are very important for us. He says here, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." Old English would say husbandman. God the Father is the gardener, and Jesus is the true vine. "Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he removes. But every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bring forth even more fruit." I'm paraphrasing it so that we can understand. In the common language, sometimes the Old English, they phrase things differently. But Jesus here is talking to ordinary people, people who live off the land. That's why he's using this example of the fruit tree or the vine, because there's a chance that if you were in Newfoundland, if people started talking about cod fishing, they might know what you're talking about. And Jesus is doing the same thing. People in Palestine, in Israel at this time, they were farmers, they lived off the land, they grew grapes. And so by using the example of grapes, he's using something that the people are accustomed to, something that they actually can understand in their own mind. And so we want to come to God's word and say, this word that was given is for each one of us, because it was given to us in a language that we can understand, talking about things that relate to us. He uses earthly symbols to teach heavenly realities. If you want to know what heaven is like, he has to use things of earth to describe things of heaven. How does it make you feel to know that God is in control? Does it make you happy? Or does it make you kind of anxious? Some people might feel happy because if God's in control, then I leave the results with him. Some people might feel anxious if God's in control because if they're not behaving properly, they might feel condemned. Let me assure you that God knows the heart. He knows the individual. And that there's nothing you can do to separate from God except for choosing to separate from God. He's there. He wants to be a part of your life. And he's asking us to be a part of him. Every branch that does not bear fruit, he takes away. So these branches are part of the vine. So it's easier for us to understand that if we were to apply this to the Christian experience, those who are already members of the family of God is who he's sort of addressing here. And he's saying that those who don't bear fruit, the Father will remove. But those who do bear fruit, he prunes. What is this pruning process? Has anyone been pruned lately? We're not talking about a haircut. Sometimes God allows challenges to happen in your life in order to develop character. That's what we're talking about, if I were to put it plainly, right? He prunes you. But he says here in verse 3, now you have been made clean by the words that I have spoken to you. When you mix the word of God in with that pruning process, it's not as hard as he makes it out to be. Because he says he's made you clean. He's purified you through the truth. Through the truth. You know, even a forest needs to have a forest fire in order to clean off all the dead wood on the bottom of the forest. But when the forest fire has burned all the brambles, not brambles, but all the blueberries and raspberries and all those little shrubs and things, they come back and the forest rejuvenates and is filled with life. But imagine you stopped all the forest fires in the forest and you stopped it and you let all that dead wood build up for 20 years or longer. A forest fire through there would be a raging fire and would destroy everything. Sometimes you need to prune in order to get the development and growth that you're looking for in the plant. Don't be afraid of being pruned as Christians. Don't be afraid of being injured by God. He says that those whom he loves, he chastens. He corrects. As a father who loves his son, he works for our growth and development, that we would bring forth much fruit. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except that it remains in the vine. No more can you unless you abide in me. Here's a reminder to disciples. If you are a disciple of Christ, you must remain connected to the source of life. You must remain connected to Jesus and his words. I've met people who say they're Christian, but they say they don't need to read their Bible because God has downloaded the whole Bible into their mind and they already know it all. And, you know, it already just sounds foolish, but when you hear people say these types of things, you're left wondering. The Bible is there for our good. It's to help us get on the right track, to know the direction to the heavenly city. It's our roadmap. And Jesus is saying that his words are the life that comes into us so that we can develop fruit. What kind of fruit is he talking about? I see a couple of pears hanging off my ears. You see a couple of nectarines over here? No, that's not the fruit that we're talking about, right? Galatians chapter 5 will tell us the kind of fruit that the Christian is to develop. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. And you know that Jesus gave the saying that a good tree does not bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Different trees have different types of fruit, you know. And so we're going to look at the fruit that comes from a good tree, but just above there is a list of fruit that comes from a bad tree. We might go through that just for clarity. Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against these there's no law. There's no end to the development and growth that you can have in Christ. There's no end to the amount of goodness that you can develop or faith that you can have in your life. There's no end to it. There's no law. Let's review them a little bit slower. The fruit of the Spirit is love. It starts off with love. You know that the whole reason that we come to this church is to love one another. Jesus says that, "By this will the world know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another." That's the distinguishing factor. Sometimes I may have said something to you that offends you. Sometimes I may do things to you that offend you. Please forgive me. Please forgive me. I'm on this journey with you. And so what does love do? Love is the forgiveness that allows the person to continue on in the relationship in spite of the problem that they have. There's something that you're going through that really hurts me when you do it. But I love you so much as a brother or a sister that I'm not willing to let that destroy our relationship. It takes work, doesn't it? It takes effort to have a relationship that's willing to say, you know, you hurt me so much, I didn't want to talk to you, but because I care so much about you, I'm not willing to let that destroy our friendship, our brotherhood, our sisterhood, whatever it is. That's what love is. Love isn't just this fancy feeling that you get when you're sitting next to somebody that... That's infatuation. God created the human body. God created these emotions and these things for our good, but we need to have control over the things that our body does. That's why the Spirit of God has to dwell inside of us. Love, joy. Joy is a wonderful one. Joy is... Every day's rosy. Joy is, I think, what's going on over there right now. There's a lot of joy happening. Joy is a wonderful thing. Joy is a fruit that God gives you when you walk with Him. When was the last time you experienced the fullness of joy in your life? Do yourself a favor. Analyze your Christian experience. Are you waking up in the morning feeling joy? How about the next one, peace? Are you waking up day after day and thinking, man, today is an awesome day. I'm just going to hit it. It's going to be the best day of my life. Now, maybe I'm being unreal, right? You can't have the best day of your life every day. But you can have a peace that the Bible says passes all understanding. You can have a peace above the storm. You can have a peace... A solidarity, you can have be rest assured in spite of the storms raging outside your front door. Do you have peace in your life today? That's why we're here at church, right? To be filled, to get that peace, to get that joy, to get that love. Here's the next one, long-suffering, the fruit of long-suffering. Are you patient with people? That's tough. Patience is difficult. Patience, even for yourself, is difficult, let alone for others. Gentleness, working with younger people than yourself, maybe people who are in the retirement homes. You need to be gentle with these people. Think about it. Are you developing the fruits of a Christian in your life? Faith, being able to see the unseen, to do the impossible, to call forth into existence that which does not yet exist? Do you have the faith to do that? Faith is another fruit. Meekness. Meekness is not weakness. Think of the example of Jesus standing in front of Pilate. Who was weak and who was meek? Jesus stood there, composed. When the false accusations came against him, he was silent. He didn't rile up. His temper didn't flare. But when he was directly asked, he answered. But weakness was what Pilate expressed. Because of the Jews, they said, "You're no friend of Caesar. If you do this," he was peer pressured into doing an evil act. he expressed a moment of weakness in allowing Jesus to be crucified. Meekness is going through the fires of affliction, understanding that God's allowing you to do that, to have that experience, and that it's for your own good. You're not comfortable. You don't enjoy it. You don't want it, but you're doing it anyways. Jesus surrendered his life. He was obedient unto death. He allowed the experience, the human experience, to take place in his life, even though it wasn't comfortable. He didn't look for a way out. He followed his convictions. He followed the truth through the fire. Meekness. Temperance is our last one, and temperance is another way of saying that you use those things which are good for you and avoid those things which are bad for you. We often use the term of smoking or alcohol as a simple way of describing temperance. Temperance can also mean the language that you use, avoiding the bad language and using that which is good in the right manner. These are the fruits of the Spirit. Think about it. Christians should be different from the world, shouldn't they? They should have something about them that is attractive. When you see an apple tree with full apples on the tree, doesn't it make you want to go over there and grab one? It's irresistible. It's desirable to go there and grab it. And that's the life of the Christian, that you bear fruit and become an irresistible type of person. You shall know them by their fruits, Jesus said. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself. Unless you abide in the vine, you cannot bear fruit. That's our lesson today. We need to remain connected with Christ in order to have these fruit in our life. Now, if you're anything like me, you may have walked away from Christ at one time. You may have decided this wasn't for you. I can't handle it anymore. I can't see this person's face again. I can't do it. I can't go to church. You don't know what I'm doing behind the scenes. Friends, I'll tell you right now, don't sever your connection with Christ. Don't sever your connection with Christ. He's not going to remove you so long as you want to be part of him. I'm going to do an example here, and we're going to show you an example of a severed, I guess what you would call this, vine or branch. And I have a helper that I was asking for, and his name is Isaac. Let's see if he's listening. I have a little job for you, buddy. Now, here's my associate pastor. So come on over. Now, I want you to take this, and I want you to crunch it all up and break it as best you can. There you go. Keep going. Keep going. Crunch it all up. Very good. Keep going. Keep going. You can do a lot more than that, I'm sure. Here, you put it over your knee. If you put it over your knee, you can. Oh, the shorter they get, the harder they get. See if you can break that one. Okay, there we go. Crunch. You guys can hear that crunch, right? That's what I want you to hear. I want you to hear the snap. That one doesn't make a snap. You know, it rained. It was a little bit moist. Well, thank you very much, Isaac. You want to go one more? Okay, he's got it. Two hands on it now. Can you get it? Oh. Come on, Haven, give him a hand. Yeah, get right in there. Get right in there. All right. Let's give him a round of applause. So the story is, how do you make raisins? He wants more. The story is, how do you make raisins? How do you make raisins? You dry grapes, right? So the way you make raisins is that you actually clip the vine or the branch off of the main vine. And you just leave it there. And you just leave it there and leave it there and leave it there. And all the grapes do is they go whoop, and they become raisins. You don't want to be a Christian raisin. Okay? Don't cut your relationship with Jesus because you're going to start to dry up. I created a problem with that branch, I think. You know, that branch, funny story is it's only been a month disconnected from the tree, that branch. I could bend that whole branch all like this less than a month ago. Doesn't take long to start drying out as a Christian, does it? You got to stay connected to the source of life. That's the duty of the disciple. Admit it, you don't have it all together. But so long as you remain connected to the source of life, you're going to continue to grow. The promise is that He will not leave you or forsake you. He'll be with you till the very end of the age. And the good work that He started in you, He will see through it to the end that you become a complete, fully developed, mature Christian. Mature Christian. So what do we do with those branches? What happens with the branches? Well, Paul says, let's see if I got my notes here and find the text for you. Romans chapter 11, verses 19 to 24. Romans chapter 11, verses 19 to 24. Paul is talking to the Gentiles who are not, they're not Jews. They don't know the oracles of God. They don't know the culture of God. Do not boast against the branches, for if you boast, you do not support the root. You don't bear the root, and you're not part of the root. Because you will say, the branches were broken off that I could become part of it. So he's saying here, the Jews and the Gentiles. Paul is saying to the Gentiles, you have nothing to boast about in being a Christian over the Jew. The Jews have been part of the tree since the beginning of the tree. You should be thankful that the tree even exists and that you got to be called to be put into the tree. You're not better than anyone else. But remember, if God Himself didn't save the own branches on the tree, how much more do you think that you will be saved if you despise the tree? I'm just paraphrasing what's going on here, but the reality is that you have been grafted in to the tree of faith. You've been grafted in. And you know what? You might have been an Adventist your whole life, and now you're back. You can be regrafted back in. You can be regrafted back into the tree. So whether you've never heard of the message of Christ and His saving grace, or you've heard it your whole life and denied it, you can both be saved if you allow Him to put you back into the tree. It's a beautiful thing. So those branches that are cut off, that God has removed, are dead. They're branches that didn't bear any fruit, they didn't grow, and they withered up and died. And so He cut them off in order that the tree could continue moving and growing and moving forward in existence, bearing much fruit. So the tree might have some dead wood on it that needs to be removed. You individually might have things about you that God needs to remove from your character in order for you to become a fully developed Christian. But corporately, the body of Christ, this building, this church building, might have character traits that God does not desire. And they need to be pruned in a loving way. So we let him do that. We pray for him to do that because it's in our best interest. So he says here that those branches that have been removed are gathered up. And you make a bundle of them. And then what do you do with the bundle? You heat your house with it. You burn them. And the reality is that this dead wood is good for just one thing, burning. That's alluding to the reality that at the end of time when Jesus returns, there's a judgment. And those who have chosen not to live a life with God will be left to remain apart from God. Their existence will cease. And so when they come into this presence of God and when God unveils his glory to them, the result is they are consumed. So you ask, well, how come we can't see God? Well, do you want to be destroyed in eternal fire? Because that's what will happen to sin if it's in the presence of a holy God. Abide in me and I in you, and you shall ask whatever you desire, and it will be done for you. I think that's the most important text in this whole scripture. If you remain in my words, and my words remain in part of your life, when you pray and you ask for something, it will be done for you. I don't know how much clearer I can make that for you. God answers prayers. He's telling you right now, he will answer your prayers. You just need to be connected to him. Not my will, but thy will be done. Let his will be done in your life, and you will see your prayers being answered. And so by this is my Father glorified, because you are bearing so much fruit that it glorifies him. You see, we are the Christ that people see on the earth. We are the people that God wants to show his love through. By this, you will be my disciples. You will be my disciples by bearing fruit. And by bearing fruit, you'll be glorifying God. So friends, let me ask you a question. Are you bearing fruit in your life? Are you growing in grace? The fruit of the Spirit. I remember there was a time where I was wrestling. I couldn't understand why nothing was going right. Everything seemed to go wrong. The call of Christianity is not wealth, it's not fame, it's not that everything goes right, but it's peace, it's joy, the fruit of the Spirit. You see the things happening and it doesn't have the same effect on you. So the call this morning is a call to accepting the words of Christ, to abide in him. You might not be abiding in him. You might not know how to abide in him. So I make myself available to you. Elder Stephen McIntyre makes himself available to you. Luis Capote makes himself available to you. Ron Stagg makes himself available to you so that you can reach the fullness that you're seeking for in your life by being connected to God. Why do we come to church and just play the church game and pretend everything's okay? Be part of the tree. Grow, develop, And we will all grow and develop and we'll become a beautiful tree like you saw, all flowering and fruiting together for the fullness of Christ. So I ask you at this time, let's stand as we close in prayer and let's reaffirm our lives to God and say, Lord, I want to be a part of your tree. Father in heaven, Lord, we seek a blessing from you today. We ask for your Spirit to guide us. We open our lives to you that you would help us to grow, help us to develop. Lord, we want to be Christians. We want to be followers and we want to be saved. We want to have the fruit of the Spirit. Lord, we recognize that sometimes we do things that we don't want to do. We say things we don't want to say. And so we commit our lives to you that you will help us to see a way through this human experience, that we would become holy and that we would be saved and learn to do things properly, a term we call righteousness. So, Father, teach us, be patient with us, and thank you very much for your Son, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.